You'd be forgiven for having missed it, given the dramas over the Labor leadership. But in the last week of Parliament, the Australia Council Bill passed the Senate. It's the product of Labor's Creative Australia policy, and it brings the biggest changes to the Australia Council since its creation in the 1970s. To explain the reforms of our most important cultural funding agency and to ask what they mean for artists and for the rest of us, I'm joined by Tony Grabowski, who since May has been the CEO of the Australia Council, and also by Weekend Art's resident cultural policy boffin, Dr. Stuart Glover. Tony, let's begin with you. Can you just outline for me what the key changes introduced by the Australia Council Bill are?
Well, good afternoon. It's terrific to be with you, and I'm very happy to talk about these very important reforms. And I should just sort of start by saying, there has been some comment that these reforms have been sort of, rushed through in this year. It's been sort of the culmination of many years' work and consultation sort of through the framework of the National Cultural Policy and also the independent review of the Australia Council. But our previous act has served us very well, and I think it's important to note that it's been in place and unchanged, as you sort of identified, for the past 40 years. And the new act, I suppose, adopts the recommendations of the review that was undertaken some 18 months ago, and essentially modernises our corporate and administrative structures so that we can more easily sort of do what we're set up to do, and that is to support and foster excellence in a range of Australian arts practice.
And the key way that this has been done, Tony, is getting rid of the art form boards.
Well, what it does do is, and you're correct, the previous act enshrines the structure of art form boards and the appointments to members of those boards by the government of the day, and that's some 60 people that were would be appointed by the government. What the new legislation does is appoint a skills-based board, so 11 members selected for their expertise, their high-level experience, to be appointed to the governing board. And then that board has the power then to appoint the peers, the panels, the experts from right across the country, from every sort of art form and discipline area, to assist us to do our peer assessment, to do the assessment of the grants that we receive, but also to help the board in forming their policy and the other strategic work that we do.
Okay, so let's break that down a bit. So we've shifted that structure of the art form boards, but maintained peer assessment, but sort of allowed that peer assessment to be more highly specialised. So I guess that you've got boards that are more responsive to the kind of artwork that's being created. I mean, that's one of the arguments that's been made in favour of this. Let's just hear Stuart Glover's take on that, on the positives, I think, first of these reforms, Stuart. So I think that is something that artists had been struggling with, and the whole art sector was having to fit perhaps very new kinds of art making into these categories that were really developed in the 1970s.
Yes, the boards came into being in the 1970s. In fact, the council was a kind of bringing together of a set of pre-existing boards, and the boards maintained over that 40 years, to a greater or lesser degree, a level of independence. And the council itself was constructed out of the chairs of those boards, which meant that there was a kind of bottom-up form of strategy making, and that did lead to sort of governance problems that Tony suggested, that and that there's been some value in refreshing the Act in order to have a council with oversight of the whole sector.
But there are concerns about what dissolution of the boards mean. This has perhaps been the most contentious aspect of the reforms from elements of the arts sector. What are the concerns?
Well, most of the noise has come out of the visual arts and from literature, and they are two areas that have had an ever-shrinking voice within the council over its 40 years. So initially there was a VisArts board, a crafts board, a literature board, an Aboriginal arts board, a theatre and a music board. But about 10 years ago, the council really began to be dominated by the major performing arts. So the council's work began to include the funding of the orchestras, the major state theatre companies, the major dance companies, so 30 or so organisations which chew up about 100 million of the council's $160 million budget. And quite reasonably, those organisations have dominated policy and they dominate discussion. And it's been, and so literature, for example, has gone from having about a 15 to 20% share of the council budget down to about a 3% share of the council budget. And it is, has become a relatively minor concern.
Now, I'll let Tony, I'll let you give a response to this in a moment, but just before we get that, I think this is... So one argument that's been made about the Australia Council for a long time now is that given it grew out of the Elizabethan Theatre Trust, that other art forms were sort of tacked on progressively, that it has always had a kind of bias towards the performing arts. Why is that likely, or is that likely to be exacerbated under the new structure, Stuart, in your view?
Well, it's partly money and it's partly the construction of the new overriding council board. It's money because that's where the council is doing most of its business, is in that area. And that's meant that the language, for a very long time, that the language of funding and the language of policy has really been dominated by the language of the performing arts, which has certain kinds of business models, whereas the visual arts and literature have quite different business models, for example.
And so I guess the concern is if there are no longer these set boards for the different art forms, they're even more vulnerable to not having particular funding allocated to them.
Yes. I mean, what's interesting is part of the motive for the refreshing of the Act was to get out of the problem of silos between different art forms. But in fact, it's a kind of risk factor now that we don't know whether the reform will mean that, say, literature and visual arts get a bigger and better say, or in fact that what we really see is a continuation of the momentum towards the performing arts. And the first sign from the government hasn't been a good one, which is really the construction of the new council, which really has fairly limited expertise in the area of visual arts. Rupert Myer's obviously very experienced in that area, and the review done under his name was very important, but there's no one at all who can speak for literature.
Tony Grabowski, let's get your response, because those are critiques that have been made, particularly from literature and visual arts. One, that there's not any safeguards to protect those art forms, and two, that the membership of this new council doesn't have enough expertise from outside of the performing arts.
Look, there's several responses there, and I would like to come back to the one of budget, because it's important that everybody sort of understands the history of the budget as various government reviews have led to substantial increases of the Australia Council budget. But firstly, on the board, and I think we're with the appointment of the board by the minister last week. I mean, I think we acknowledge that. We're very fortunate to have a number of artists and arts administrators that have been pointed to that, again, I stress the point, skills-based board, who've performed or produced and directed events really sort of right across the country. And as Robin Archer sort of said to me earlier this week, and her sort of 30-year sort of history in the arts, sort of nationally and internationally, and with the Australia Council, sitting around the table sort of now, we've probably got more artistic expertise than we have in the past. And it's important under our structure, the main point, the main function of the board is to ensure effective management of an organisation that now has an annual appropriation of over $220 million.
What about the concern, Tony, that those board members don't come from a wide enough range of art forms, that they are really concentrated in the performing arts and festivals?
Well, no, because their role is not to be decision makers on the particular grants. They will appoint up to probably in excess of 100 artists from all practices from right across the country to undertake the work of peer assessment and assist us with the policy direction. Again, it comes back to that point. It's not representing different art forms.
Though they will need to have an awareness of the different kind of, I guess, business models that Stuart mentioned, in terms of if you are a writer or an artist, usually often working alone as opposed to being part of a big theatre company. There are very different infrastructure, financial requirements for the different artists, and I guess you would want members of that council to have a really first-hand appreciation of those differences.
Correct, and I think, look, if you look across the, take Robin Archer as an example, as sort of a celebrated singer and festival director, you know, performed all around the country for small, medium and large organisations. You know, Leanne Buckskin, again, who's, an Indigenous woman born in South Australia, again, has, is working at the Carclough Centre in South Australia. Again, has very extensive experience. But look, that board is going to interact with now sort of panels and experts from right across the representing the artistic practice that is actually occurring in Australia. The thing that I've sort of noticed, certainly in my observation, is that we no longer work in sort of six or seven art form practice areas. Artists of different generations are actually thinking differently and working cross art form, and it's those type of people that we actually want to bring in to the thinking and the strategic direction of the organisation.
Tony Grabowski, CEO of the Australia Council, many thanks for your time. And Dr Stuart Glover, former member of the formerly existing Queensland Literature Board of the Australia Council and lecturer at the still existing University of Queensland. And we will continue to follow this story on Weekend Arts.